The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, friends. Welcome to worship. And we have a few special announcements before we get started. First, we want to do a strong welcome to the Synod's representation, the women here from the Women of the ELCA Oregon Synod who met yesterday here in the retreat. Welcome to our worship and thank you for coming down here and spending the time with us. And
thank you for letting us invite ourselves. It's a wonderful time. We love coming here.
And the invitation is always open for you to return.
Thank you.
And also a special welcome to Danielle, who is with us from Every Child, who will be leading a discussion after service about both teams. So welcome to you all. Welcome to anyone else that's here, friends, visitors, family, distance relations. Welcome to all who are gathered here. Today is a special day, as is every Sunday, because today we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. So let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve for you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God has mercy on you, forgives you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us
to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for our children's message. If you have any children who want to come forward, and if not, no problem, no pressure. Are you enjoying Newport?
Yes.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a little bit fun with our children and the children's sermon, so it might not be fun for you. I don't know. Hopefully it is. I never speak for somebody else, but do you know what this is? What is it?
It's a lock,
yeah. Do you know how to open it? Yeah, you put a code in, you go like one way left to the number, the other way to the other number, and then back, and then it opens, except I don't know the code. I don't know the code, so how am I going to open it?
Try
every code. I'm going to try every code. Y'all laugh, but that's the only way to open this now. So I have to try 40 ways one way, times 40 the other way, times 40 the other way. Do you know how many different combinations that is?
A lot.
It's like 64,000 combinations. So if it takes us 20 seconds to do this, times 64,000, that's like a long time. It's like 9 straight days of trying this.
We have
We'll delete that from our meeting. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. So, but this is the question. If I were to hand you this lock in a case, would you spend the 9 days of turning it to open it?
No.
You wouldn't. Unless...
You got it in the first day.
No, unless... let's say there was an all-expenses paid trip for your whole family and you go to Disneyland for a week. Would you spend the time doing that, the 9 days doing it to get that trip? You would! You see, you wouldn't do it if it's not worth it, but because it is still just a few numbers, it's a lot of numbers, but it's still a finite amount of numbers, you would do it to go take your whole family to Disneyland. Well, Jesus today is talking about how sometimes life is hard and difficult, but if we keep trying, eventually it's going to open up. So when we pray, when we live for the world, live for Jesus, what we're trying to do is, well, what we're going to do is open the lock that is going to be open. So let us pray. For all of our friends, on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together like we're praying in a loud clap. So we want everyone to know we're praying. So are you ready? One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for opening the lock.
Thank you for opening the lock.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 32, starting at verse 22. Hear now the word. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today may be found on page 7 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please respond with the dark print. From Psalm 121, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore."
Our second reading today is from 2 Timothy verses 3 and 4. Hear now the word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost teaching, patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a certain judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Well, will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, sometimes when you explain a parable, you have to do it with a parable. So let me tell you the parable of the fair at midnight. The fair at midnight is a very sharp and intelligent ferret who was easily able to learn a few tricks in the Smithy's household. She learned to stand, to turn around, to roll over, to get her treats. And then she said to herself, "Self, I now have a new language to ask for." So when she wants something, she will run up to us and stand. And it means please may I have that thing. Now I know it is please, because she has another language when it's a demand, which is she stands up and invites me. That's give it to me now. But the simple stand is please, may I have that. And she's a persistent little ferret. When she wants it, she will be running all over the house, and when she runs, he has a certain, I call it a sachet, where she comes sashaying, and it's like watching a car with a trailer in the back, on the road, the trailer is about to come loose, and it's just wobbling. So come here, sachet over, stand, and if we don't want to give it to her, we'll walk away, and then she'll sachet over, stand, and eventually, the pure cuteness factor melts the heart, and she gets her treat. It's the persistent faith that says, if I keep going, if I keep trying, I will get my treat. This is the faith of the widow, the faith that says, even amidst the discouragement, I'm going to still come, still ask, still be granted. So that is the first part, the easiest part for us to grapple with. And you know, friends, and for visitors, if you don't know, I always ask what the question the text is asking us, and I get a treat today because our text actually asks a question. And the question is, will the Son of Man find faith? But what type of faith? Well, he started the parable by telling him the type of faith he's looking for, the faith that continues to pray and doesn't get discouraged. Will he find that type of faith, the faith of the widow, the faith of little midnight ferret who continually stands in the face of discouragement? So that's the second part, the discouragement. And friends, life is really discouraging at times, isn't it? Whether it's personally, communally, civically, nationally, globally, there is a lot to discourage us. It's easy to get discouraged. So Jesus tells this parable so they will not get discouraged and continually be in. So I'd like then to offer you a few thoughts for the remaining few minutes I have on what we do in the face of discouragement. So the thought first, friends, don't be discouraged because your victory is already assured. Christ has already come in the flesh, bore our humanity, and went. Christ has already defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil, has already died, but most importantly, has raised from the dead. And friends, that power of the resurrection already now lives in you. The end is secure. Victory is assured. Death and sin cannot hold Christ in the grave. It will not hold you. So friends, we don't get discouraged. We do get discouraged, but we shouldn't get discouraged because victory is already yours. The end is secure. There is something I like, and a lot of you have heard me talk about this, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit again today, but I really like this thing, the theory of the 10,000-hour rule. And it goes like this. The only thing that separates you from the expert level at anything is 10,000 hours of practice. You go, whoa, that's a lot of hours. But you see, the question is not if you can become an expert at something. The only question is if you're going to spend 10,000 hours . So you get that first hour down, and you're discouraged. After that first hour, maybe but you only got 9,999 hours left to go. Which is discouraging. But just as Christ rose from the dead, the point of the encouragement part of that is you will get there. You will get there. We will get to the resurrection, friends. And so, if you're going to get there anyways, point number two, and I'm going to borrow a famous logo here, just do it. In the face that the resurrection is already coming, why not just live like the resurrection is already real to you? Why not just do it? Why not, in the face that your victory is already secure, go ahead and live that way? And so, to quote another famous person, Gandhi, be the change you wish to see. It's not enough to identify what changes need to occur in the world, whatever change you think needs to occur. Go out and be that change. If you want the world to be more loving, then go out and love more. If you want justice, more justice in the world, you don't have to wait for the government to bring justice. Just go out and be just. The just world is coming. So might as well act like it. Might as well be just to people. And this brings us, sorry for some of the visitors here, it brings us to a particular conversation we're having later today with our hope teams. Because I get the question. The question gets asked all the time, right? What is the church doing for you to attract young families? That's a great question. I ponder that question all the time. But we also must turn that question on ourselves. If you want the church to change, to be more welcoming for families, what are you doing to welcome families? Be the change you want to see. And so, the Hope Team's an idea, and it's presented by Every Child in Oregon, and basically we kind of get an adoptive foster family as a whole unit to provide 3 acts of loving care per month. Now, we don't do this because we're trying to proselytize this family into Lutheranism. They may never come into our midst, but we want to build a relationship of love. And says, hey, what we value is love, so we're going to pour some love and relationship into you. And that may open doors. Maybe it doesn't. But maybe it changes our hearts. Because if we want to be a more loving community, and it takes 10,000 hours to become the expert level lover, then let's start getting those hours in. Let's love some more. Let's have some faith some more. Let's care. So be the change. Don't be discouraged because, point one, don't be discouraged because the resurrection has already happened. Live that way. Point two, that was point two. Might as well do it anyways, right? And point three, let me close with this. Don't be discouraged because, as Jesus says, the Son of Man will come. And the question is, will he find faith on the earth? Well, I think most definitely the answer is yes. Just look at you people gathered here. Every Sunday showing up, loving your communities, coming forward to receive the body and blood of our Lord at the table. If Jesus were here at this moment, as he is here, he would say, yes, there is a community where faith is found. And it's the same community spread all over the city, all over this country. There is definitely faith on this earth. The faith that says, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep loving my communities. I'm going to keep standing for the love of God. We love God. We love our neighbors. That faith, my friends, So friends, here's our table. Come, Christ is here. The faith that we come every Sunday is here. And let us come forward, receive the body of Christ, and then go out to serve the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Renewed in God's everlasting grace, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for the church universal, O God, who unites the church across the globe, bring unity and peace to a world divided by hatred and opposition. Turn our hearts toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for creation, O God, who made heaven and earth. Draw us to the beauty of the whole creation. Turn us toward a white relationship with the entire cosmos. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for all nations, states, cities, and towns. O God, you rule over all the earth. Grant our elected officials humility in their decision-making for the sake of the entire world. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. O God, who heals and strengthens, our help comes from you in times of need. Support, comfort, and heal those who suffer, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmeyer, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea Neve, and her parents and grandparents, Eric, Ed, Meredith, Bennett, Tony, Dave, Steve, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We pray for Atonement Lutheran Church. O God, who guides this congregation, encourage us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Nurture our relationships with the community that we serve and advocate for those who come to us in need. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We offer thanksgiving for the faithful departed. O God, whose promises never end, we thank you for all the saints who have shown us the way of your Son, Jesus Christ. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
on the uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
people, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to come at this table. And we have a simple definition for what all means here. All means all, which means all, which means all. If there's any question of that, it means all. All are welcome here. In a moment, the ushers will come forward and they'll start on this side of the room. We will ask you to fill in our communion rails from right to left. And you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable for you. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Friends, we just pause a moment for some announcements, and I remind everyone that we'll be meeting in the conference room unless we get too full, then we'll go downstairs for a discussion with every child about the Hope Team. We want to again extend a very heartfelt thank you to the women of the ELCA for being here this weekend. You're always welcome. Please, please be sure. And next week is Reformation Day. So here is your week before reminder that you are invited to wear red. You don't have to, but you're invited to. We have a few special things to occur next week, so I think you'll want to be here. But also, the bishop's convocation is next week, so I will be out of the office till Thursday. So please keep all the clergy in your prayers this week as we meet in convocation with the bishop. With all that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, and who sets the prisoner free, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.